I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I'm going to him who sent me. And none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. Amen. When we look at the Ten Commandments and try to live by them perfectly, every day as God commands, we soon find how difficult that is to do. Even using the word difficult implies there's some possibility of pulling it off. A better word would be the word impossible. Fulfilling perfectly every one of God's commands is impossible according to the flesh. It is impossible to stand before our holy God and offer him works of the law and expect those works to merit pardon for sin. God's law, his holy, divine, righteous word, is good. It's just. And for sinners, that's precisely the problem. In Romans 4:15, we hear, the law brings wrath. The reason the law brings wrath is because the law is perfect and we're not. It is just and we're not. God's law, the embodiment of his will for us, is righteous and fair. But we are not righteous, and so God's law reveals our inability to do the very things he still commands us to do. So, have you ever thought about throwing in the towel and abandoning the faith because it's just too hard? You hear a command like, forgive your neighbor. Totally. That means let go of the resentment. That means let go of the pain. Put the fire out and love your neighbor, yes, even your enemy. Does that happen very easily? Does it happen quickly? Does it happen at all? God sees it. God sees the fire of anger. He sees anger towards the neighbor, which according to God's law, his word, the anger and the murderer have something in common, that is, both are liable to judgment. And there are other commands from our holy living God that cut us to the heart because we struggle to do them. Those who say Christianity is for the weak haven't honestly tried living the Christian life, because it is a life that entails spiritual struggles, spiritual battles, fights, and sometimes despair. And so the only hope we have is God's mercy. God's compassion, God's rich and abundant forgiveness that he promises, that is yours through Christ. By faith in Christ, even our works, even our deeds, are purified of sin. In Galatians, we hear, if righteousness were through the law, Christ died for no purpose. That's why the scriptures say even the deeds of the saints are righteous. Because the saint is that believer declared, purified, forgiven, righteous in Christ. And even the sins tainting our good deeds, our works, we are cleansed of those sins as well, by Christ, in Christ. And so be of good cheer. Rejoice. It is your heavenly Father's good pleasure to give you his kingdom. And it is by faith that one has the kingdom of God. It is by faith that one possesses Jesus. Faith comes from hearing the word of God, because the Holy Spirit is always working through his living, active word, a word that we hear every time we hear the gospel. In the gospel lesson today from John, Jesus knew he was going to the Father, that there would come a time when his disciples would have to live and work without him right by their side. In the gospel assigned to us this morning, we hear sorrow filled their hearts because Jesus is going to the Father. That phrase, going to the Father, includes Jesus' resurrection, it includes his ascension, but it also includes his crucifixion. And so that phrase, going to the Father, entails the death of the Son of God. And Christ Jesus is well aware that time with his disciples in a local personal way is about to come to a close. But friends, the entire world, all of it, will be affected by what happens at Calvary. For Christ will die for all sin. He sheds his blood for the entire world, even for the ungodly, which we hear in Romans 5, quote, "For while we were still weak at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Sin has always had a price. But by God's great and abundant mercy, out of his love, he pays the very price we owe in the sending of his only begotten Son, who willingly and lovingly sheds his blood to pay for sin. And so it is to our advantage that Jesus goes to the Father, because it means he will be crucified on the cross, but by his crucifixion, sin is accounted for, paid by his precious blood. He dies, he rises, he ascends to the Father, and the Helper comes. The Helper. Today is Pentecost. Pentecost is the remembrance and celebration of God sending his Spirit, the Helper, as he promised, to nourish, to strengthen, and expand his kingdom to all nations. Therefore, even though the death and resurrection of Jesus happened a long time ago, the Helper, the Holy Spirit, is with you. That means Christ is with you. It means your God is with you. He is. I get it. It doesn't always feel that way, that God is with you. But the testimony of Scripture says otherwise. The testimony of Scripture says God will not leave his people. He will not abandon his people. Christ promises, "I will be with you until the very end of the age." We have very powerful feelings that move us to do all sorts of things. And sometimes we have a certain feeling or inclination inside of us. And when we have these feelings, these emotions, there is a tendency to assume it must be the Holy Spirit. Luther had a word for this. He called it enthusiasm, God speaking directly to a person by feelings and emotions apart from Holy Scripture. The danger with such an approach is when sinners begin searching inside of themselves, looking inside of their flesh to hear the word of God. And in the process, they abandon the clear, certain revelation of God's word and Holy Scripture, and listen intently to their own flesh, or even worse, they listen to the voice of Satan. In this gospel lesson assigned for Pentecost Sunday, our Lord Jesus is crystal clear as to the role of the Spirit, the Helper. And he says the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. The Spirit always testifies and glorifies Christ. The Spirit brings to your remembrance all the teachings of Jesus, teachings we have right before us recorded in the written, inspired Word of God. It is by the Holy Spirit through God's Word that we believe. It is by the Holy Spirit through that gospel that we are nourished, strengthened, and established in the faith. Making the Holy Spirit into a personal horoscope by which we see into the future, that is not what Jesus is teaching us here. The Holy Spirit never, ever does anything apart from the Son and the Father. The Holy Spirit does nothing out of step with the Father and the Son, because God, our God, is one. Getting back to Jesus' teaching on the role of the Spirit, he says the Holy Spirit convicts, that's the word he uses, convicts the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. For the world, Jesus will say, it is convicted of its unbelief. The unbeliever can rail against God and deny his or her sin, but the conviction of the Spirit stands. Christ also says the Holy Spirit convicts, charges the world with righteousness. The gospel is the objective good news that Christ has died to justify sinners, even the ungodly. The righteousness of God is bound up in the very gospel itself because it is the message of reconciliation with God. We are even one with God on account of Christ who died to bring us to himself, making us even one with him. God's righteousness we have in Christ, who goes to the Father through death, resurrection, and his ascent. And that promise is apprehended by the gift of faith. The Holy Spirit convicts the world of judgment. That means the ruler of this world is judged. Satan doesn't win. He is cast out and he is defeated in God's victorious work. So to conclude, those who say Christianity is a crutch for the weak haven't honestly tried living the Christian life. It's always easy to give into the flesh or bow down to the world's demands. Hard to stand up against the world, hard it is to battle the temptations of the flesh. But people of God, friends in Christ, in our struggles, and they are many, our Lord Jesus tells us not to be afraid, that we already have now the Helper, the Spirit who bears witness to Jesus and his saving work. Every time you hear the word of God, you hear the Spirit declaring what is his to you. Jesus tells us, he, that means the Spirit, will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The Spirit declares. The Spirit declares to you what is God's. He declares to you the salvation of God. Every time you hear the gospel, he declares to you forgiveness, freely yours by faith in Jesus. He declares to you Christ, his word by which your faith is nourished and strengthened. He declares you washed in baptism. He declares to you that it is indeed the body and blood of Christ for the forgiveness of sins that you receive every time you partake of the Lord's Supper. Hear the word of God, friends, and you are hearing the declaration of the Helper, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who enlightens you with his gifts, sanctifies and keeps you in the one true faith in the one true church. We have all this right now. We have it now. God gives us these gifts. When the law accuses you and your sins are brought to bear, remember, recall, and know what you have right now in Christ, and that is the mercy, compassion, and righteousness of God. The Spirit speaks this to you in his gospel. The good news that salvation has been won, and by faith, it is yours. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus from now unto life everlasting. Amen.